Never Go Back is our text today. Hebrews 10, 11 to 25 is our, or Never Go Back is our title, I guess. Hebrews 10, 11 to 25 is our text. We're finishing up our last Sunday in Hebrews. We've been, I think this is the seventh Sunday we've been through Hebrews, and this is the last one. We're wrapping up for now. This letter is written to Jewish Christians describing the greatness of Jesus, and in particular highlighting how nothing else from their traditions, the traditions of the Old Testament given by God, nothing else of that, the sacrifices and any of that, was necessary for salvation. And the message to us is that we also don't depend on anything else besides Jesus and what He has done for our salvation. The theme, as we've mentioned going through Hebrews of the letter, is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And in the last few weeks, we have seen how He offers a greater sacrifice than what the Old Testament had. He is a greater priest than any of the Old Testament priests. He offers His sacrifice in a greater tabernacle than the one that was created by Moses and the Israelites at God's instruction. The tabernacle, as we think about it in the Old Testament, the reason for the tabernacle was as a place to reach God, to be able to be in communication with God, to be near His presence. Not quite maybe in His presence, we might say, but near His presence, to be able to communicate with Him and hear from Him. In our scripture reading today, earlier, we heard Jesus talking about how the temple, which was based off of the tabernacle, how the temple would be destroyed. It was based, as I said, on the tabernacle that was, you know, the design for it was given by God directly on Mount Sinai when He gave them the law. And then the temple was based on that, but that would be destroyed. And Jesus talked a little bit more about what would happen from that time on until the end of time, just giving the warnings that there would always be dangers in this world from persecution or simply living in this fallen world. We learn about, then, in Hebrews, the greater sacrifice. In the last few weeks in particular, we've heard about the greater sacrifice of Jesus, and in the last 2 weeks, focusing on a couple aspects of that sacrifice. First, the eternal nature of the sacrifice, that everything is healed for eternity, perfectly healed, in perfection. Last week we heard, in particular, we focused on the detail that this is a done deal, one sacrifice for all of time. A done deal. Never needed to be done again. Today, we focus on our relationship with God. How does our relationship with God change? How is it different based on what Jesus has done? In particular, how is it different from what they experienced in the Old Testament? And then we see, how is that reflected in our lives? Our text today begins with a little review, so some of the same themes. We're just reminded of the themes that we've covered again, and then introduces a little bit of a new part of this as well, and an invitation to us, really. And as as we get to this, the title today is Never Go Back. We'll see in this invitation from God, it's kind of an invitation to come to Him. But as we think about that, I'm looking at the perspective of having come to Him, why would we ever want to leave His presence? So that's what we're thinking about as we get to our text today. So Hebrews 10, 11 to 25, I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Hebrews 10, 11 to 25, reading in Jesus' name. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Father, thank you for this word to us, written so long ago, but applicable to us today. Thank you for this encouragement to draw near to you. And as we consider the impact that what Jesus has done has on our lives, that we would make a change in us, and that would renew our faith and keep us close to you. So guide us as we consider your words to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to invite the kids up, and one more time here. We're going to come up over here to the model tabernacle over here. But can you have a seat here? We're going to be up over here. I really want to make sure that we're all seated, though, so we can get a good view. Thanks for a couple of the older guys coming up, too. Theo, are you going to, you could probably maybe just start out focusing on that. I'm going to ask a couple questions here to start out. So are we up there? Maybe getting up there. Oh, it works. All right. Can you come have a seat here? Thank you. Okay. I want to ask you guys a question. What do you remember about the tabernacle here? What do you remember? What do you remember anything about it?
The rocks.
Oh, the rocks. They were in the Ark of the Covenant, right? Yeah, it was the stone tablets, right? What do you remember? Yeah, they did a sacrifice there. That's what they would do. They would do that. You know, some of the sacrifices they actually would share as food. They would burn part of it, and they would eat part of it. And some of them were burned all the way up. What else? Anything else you remember?
They would wash their hands and feet in the thing before they would go in there.
Yeah, they need to have clean hands and feet. And who would go in the tabernacle? Who was allowed to go in there?
Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. That's part of what we're learning, right? Who would? Rich people? Well, not exactly.
Priests.
Yeah, they had a particular role, right? Sometimes they kind of abused their position. They did get rich because of that, but that wasn't the focus, right? It was the priest, somebody that God chose that could be. Well, today we're going to think about one particular thing. So I'm going to bring a couple things over to you. You can look at this still from there. Stay sitting down. I'm going to bring two things over here. These are ones we didn't look at last week. Oops. And you could come take a look at these quick. Oh, still loading. I guess we don't have it. Okay. All right. Here, go ahead and sit down. Oops.
A table.
All right. Yeah. Can you see those? A table. And it looks like for candles, doesn't it? The original one, it was actually a lampstand. They didn't actually have candles yet. I didn't know that. It was lamps. They would set lamps on there. Looks like a stone. Looks like, you said it looks like a hairbrush. Yeah, it kind of does. It's got the, anyway. Do you know what these were for? These would have seven lamps always lit. Always lit. Is it seven? Oh, hold on. Just look without.
One,
carefully there.
Two.
Yeah.
Three, four, five, six, seven.
They're all there. Hey, nice. Seven lampstands, right? All of them are there. And that signified God's presence and that he was light. What do you think went on the table?
That.
I didn't catch that, do you think? What do you normally put on a table? What's one thing you put on a table? Food. You know what went on this table? Bread. Bread. God didn't eat the bread somehow, but every day they would put on bread on the table, and that was bread signifying His presence with the people. And that's what we're focused on today, God's presence. And there's one more thing I want. From there, you can look over here, okay? We got the lid knocked off the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody's going to die, I guess. I don't know. But so if you look in here, remember I said only once a year the high priest could come into this area. There's a veil that's right here that's in between. It's a big, heavy piece of cloth in between. And that kept everybody out except for the priest once a year. And when Jesus died, does anybody know what happened to that veil when Jesus died? Do you know? It got torn in two. It got ripped down the middle. God did that to show that we can now come to Him and the barrier is removed. And that's what we're thinking about today. So I'm going to get, if you hold on a second, I forgot to bring these papers over there for you. All right. Would you like to hand those out? Okay. Well, I already gave those ones out. But if you'll notice, there's a picture on there of the veil being torn. And, oh, careful. Yeah, let's just hand them out, okay? Gently, thank you. All right, thanks for coming up. Oh, yeah, he needs two to take one. All right, thanks for coming up. Well, did we get that up there or not? What's that? Oh, it hung up. Okay, well, all right. Sorry, guys, I hung up on you, I guess. All right, well, we got it 2 out of 3 Sundays. All right, so, oh, do you have the extras? Okay, thank you. Oh, but you've got one, right? Did you take one? All right, there you go. Okay, thanks for coming up. You can go back to your seats. All right. Well, yeah, sorry. I guess hopefully we might have an interruption in our streaming too, but that's okay. We'll get it later. We'll get it uploaded later for those that aren't with us this morning here. But, well, as we think about the tabernacle, and before we get into that, I guess, we might ask a question. We might start here by asking the question, who is God? As we think about His presence, and we think about the purpose of being in His presence, who is He? Who is He to us? There are many different ways that we could answer that question. Many different attributes of God, many different ways that He relates to us. We might think of Him as our friend. Is He our friend? Is He our Father? Hey, got the answers from back there. Good, yes. Yes. Is He our taskmaster? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you need to ask what that is there. Yeah, is he our judge? Well, I like to have the response from the kids in the back. That's good. Well, you know, these days it's easy for people to talk about God as if He is powerless or very nearly so. As we live our lives and we don't really see the effects of God directly working on this world in our day-to-day lives, we don't tend to see it that way. And so it's easy to think of Him as distant, maybe not involved, maybe not doing anything. And many people will talk about Him that way. And even sometimes, in more of a public setting, maybe it tends to happen more often as we're playing pickleball, and there are, you know, people of many different backgrounds as a part of that. But sometimes somebody will use language that they'd maybe regret using or they don't want to use in a certain context, and they'll say, oh, sorry, pastor, you know, as they maybe curse or something. And my thought is always, hey, I'm not the one you have to be worried about. I'm just, you know, a regular guy. But if you have a problem with that, you know, God's always around. So anyway, I usually don't say that. I just say, you know, all right. But there's this view of God being distant, and maybe it's even, you know, the church and the pastor are more significant than God often as His representatives, and because we don't see God working. So that is easy to have that mentality, right? As the Israelite people, God's people, received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, they saw thunder, or they heard thunder, and they saw lightning. There was thunder and lightning, and there was the instruction not to touch the mountain of God, because He was going to be present there, and they would die if somebody touched the mountain. And I don't know if you realize this. I didn't always realize this. But when God gave the Ten Commandments, that part of the Ten Commandments, He spoke to them. Maybe I've mentioned that before. But they actually heard His voice. Most of the rest of the law He gave through Moses. But that part of it, they heard His voice speaking. And they were afraid. They were afraid. They said, we need somebody between us and God. They recognized a little bit of who God is. And so the tabernacle was built as a place to do that. And as the tabernacle was first set up, as it was instructed, built, all of the pieces were built and set up. And then as after they did that, they dedicated it, and God's presence came and filled. I don't know what that looked like, but it was, I'm sure, it was a spectacular sight, I'm sure. And God's presence filled the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, in such a way that Moses, even though he was allowed to come to God in a way others weren't, he could not enter the tabernacle because of God's presence being there. A healthy view of God does see Him as a loving God who is our friend, who is our Father, and also sees Him as our Creator, as our Judge, as omniscient, as holy. It takes in all of that. The Ark of the Covenant was set up in the Holy of Holies, and as I mentioned to the kids, only the high priest could enter that room, and only once a year with the proper sacrifice. And that didn't change. That never changed, no matter how many sacrifices were offered. They kept going. And we've seen this theme already, right? The sacrifices needed to continue because sin continued. And there was kind of a recurrence of this would be a reminder. As day after day, the priest would do his duties once a year in the Holy of Holies, but every day there were sacrifices going on. Again and again, the same sacrifices, they could never take away sin. But as we've heard before, as we heard last week, Jesus made one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Himself, and that paid the penalty for sin for all time. We see something different in the way of approaching God. The tabernacle was set up because that hadn't happened yet. It's not that they needed the tabernacle and its sacrifices to take away their sin. It was still Jesus' death and resurrection that took away their sin. But that event hadn't happened yet. So they needed something before that that would point them to that, even though they didn't exactly realize what that was. But now with Jesus, a change is happening, and there is a new covenant. And we have this quote from Jeremiah as he says, as God says, even before, long before Jesus' time, I will put my law in their hearts. It will be written on their minds. It will be with them. Sins and lawless acts will be remembered no more because of Jesus' sacrifice. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice is no longer necessary. Where our sins have been forgiven, the blemishes in our life have been removed. The things that keep us out of God's presence have been removed. The barrier from coming to God is down. That veil is down, and we can come into the Holy of Holies. As Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two to indicate God was telling us, you can now come into my presence. The priests didn't understand what that meant. The reason for the separation was gone. The penalty for sin was now paid. There is a new and living way into God's presence that doesn't deal with sacrifices in a room that we cannot enter into. It is now through the body of Jesus given for us. And so we are invited to draw near to Him with full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled, which cleanses a guilty conscience, as we've heard before, not just outwardly being able to be around God's tabernacle and worship Him, but cleansing us on the inside. Our bodies washed with pure water. The blemishes of sin removed. The objectionable part of us is removed from us. Now, as we think about that, as we think about entering into that Holy of Holies, that sanctuary, being able to do that, I'm sure there's a question that might come up here, and you might say, but Pastor Danny, we're not really in the Holy of Holies, are we? You know, as we come to church, it's not really the same thing as going into God's presence in that way. God had a special way of being present with the people that, as I said, Moses couldn't even come in. So it's not as if that Holy of Holies, that holiest room, that we can enter into God's presence in that way right now, right? We still know that we live in an imperfect world. So we might ask the question, in what way are we in God's presence? What is it like to be in His presence? What does that mean? Well, one way of describing being in His presence means that, in part, we see the world through His eyes. We see the world the way that He sees it. And what this means is that we can enjoy the beauty of creation. We can enjoy it as God's created world, not as some random thing that maybe happened, but as God's created world. We see His relation to us. We see His presence. We see His presence in as we see children. I think of that often. We see the way, I mean, we kind of chuckle at some of the responses we get from the kids, right, as they come up here. I think of even as I was thinking about this, the way that we, as a child develops, and I think about when they get to about, you know, 1 year old, and, you know, they're learning about the world, and when you first see them make a joke, right? Not maybe with words, because they don't know how to talk yet, but you know, they make an action that you realize they're getting a sense of humor. Isn't that wonderful? We get to see that as God's presence with us. Now, it's true that others can see beauty in the world. They can recognize these things. Old Testament believers, you read the Psalms, and they saw the beauty of creation and all of that and realized that, but it was also in the context, as they experienced the brokenness of the world, it was in the context of needing the tabernacle in order to be made right with God. That's what's different for us. We get to experience life recognizing that our sins are permanently removed, that the guilt is gone. Even as we continue to struggle with sin in our lives, the guilt is gone. We don't need an intermediary tent or building or person to come between us and God. And some, we might refer to this sometimes as the priesthood of all believers, even. The fact that all of us can come to God and intercede on behalf of others. We have then this encouragement to encourage one another, to hold on to the faith that we have. Don't swerve away from it. And this is where I think of this title today. Never go back. Never go back. We experience God's presence in a wonderful way. Never go back. Don't leave that. There's no reason to. If doubts creep into our minds sometime, if things are happening in life, if God seems maybe too distant, because we don't see His action in the troubles of the world, at least we don't understand it, at least. Or if He seems too holy and too perfect, and we think, how could we be acceptable to Him? Never go back. You don't need to go back to those doubts. He who promised is faithful. The veil is torn. We have free access to God. As I said, being in His presence means seeing the world through His eyes. And there's another way that we might see that too. I talked about the beauty of creation, but let's think about the other side of it. The gloom, the destruction, the terrible things that happen in this world. We are able to see that through His eyes, through His love. On driving on I-94, headed towards Fargo in that direction from Fergus Falls about 21 years ago. I was heading farther than that, a few hours farther than that, to Rolette, North Dakota. I had just gotten a call that my mom had died. She had been dealing with cancer. We knew this was likely coming. I had decided not. I was going to travel just a few days later to be with her, with my family. There was a lot of things going on that I was a part of. I decided to stay for that if I could. Turns out that all got interrupted. I got the call. She has died. So I just said, okay, it's time for me to go. I was on the road there, and as I was thinking about the faith that we have, thinking about what that means for us, thinking about my mom and what she meant to me, and that I wouldn't get to talk to her again until eternity. I can say that was a moment there as I drove along of just feeling God's presence with me. Almost feeling like I could reach and touch heaven with my hand. Now, I want to be clear. I don't believe that this is true, that I am in God's presence, that I can come to Him because I had that feeling. Many people can have a feeling just like that, maybe interacting with other beliefs of God, of other gods and things like that. Those feelings can happen in other ways. So I don't depend on the feeling to confirm for me that I get to be in God's presence. But as I know the truth that I hear from God's Word, as I know what He says about being in His presence, as that feeling came that day, I could recognize that it was true. It was a reflection of truth. I can be in God's presence. And death doesn't have to be a fearful thing for me. Where the agnostic or the skeptic or the atheist might look at the evil things in this world and say, if God is truly love, if He is truly all-knowing, all-powerful, then why does evil exist? Where the agnostic and skeptic and atheist might say that, we can see all of this through God's eyes and recognize that we deserve much worse than what we experience in this world. And yet, God's love is patient with us. Instead of seeing the evil in the world and thinking, where is God? We can see the evil in the world and recognize that God came into it, lived it, and died and rose again for us. And I would say once we see that, we never want to go back. Never go back. It's not a comfortable place to see evil and not know what can be done about it. We got to have God's promise. Never go back. And in fact, as we do, as we see the truth, encourage one another. Encourage one another in the faith. Encourage one another. Spur one another on, the author of Hebrews says, to love and good deeds. In what way? Well, by meeting together. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't go on your own. Go together with others. That's what we get to do as we gather together here. As we encourage each other in other ways, too. You know, some people say, well, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And, it's strictly speaking, that's true. That's true. But we get to be encouraged by one another. We get to be a part of something that encourages us. We can do it here. We can do it as we give each other a phone call, maybe. As we pray for one another. As we join each other in activities and encourage others to do the same. And as we finish our text here, we see him say, as we see the day approaching. We do this as we see the day approaching. You know, it may be a long way off. It may be not that far. We don't know. But it's getting closer. The day that Jesus returns. And then we really do get to experience the heavenly Holy of Holies. God's full presence, the way perfect people can experience it. We will get to do that. And we look forward to that, because when convicted of sin, we might fear God's wrath. We might worry about judgment. We might be concerned with how we live our lives. But even amidst that, we recognize that He is faithful. The veil is torn. We can enter the presence of God. And even when it doesn't feel like we get to experience His presence, we can return to His Word, we can encourage one another, and remember that He is faithful. Never go back from that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Your Word. Thank You for the blessing of Your presence with us, that we get to be in Your presence, not experiencing it fully yet, and yet, at the same time, we kind of do. Thank You for those times where we have that feeling. Thank You for the gift of those times where we have that special feeling of being in Your presence. We ask that You would remind us of Your presence each and every day. Help us as we encourage one another in that, and even as we reach out to others and hope to bring them into Your presence as well. Thank You that we get to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.